This is the ninth class in the Baptist Bible Seminary first year Greek course, the second semester. This is March the 14th, 1985. We're taking lessons 35 and a half to 36, pages 119 to 125, paragraphs 292 to 309. And we're taking the beginner's grammar of the Greek New Testament by William Hershey Davis. It is sponsored by the Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is the teacher, Dr. D.A. Wade, director of the Bible for Today, speaking.
Let's open with a word of prayer, shall we, and begin our class tonight. Dear Lord, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, Thy Son, and He loved us and gave Himself for us. We thank Thee for Thy Word that tells us of His salvation that He provides. We ask Thee now for this class. Thank Thee for the Greek language that we can study. Pray for each one of these men. Give them wisdom and guidance. Guide me also, Lord, as we study together these matters of the Greek language and Scriptures in the New Testament that Thou hast given us. We thank Thee for preserving it right down to the present day, and we can study and look into it and know Thy words. In Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. Amen. Alright, let's review tonight's work. Manny, they tell me I forgot to sign the second series of exercises.
You only did one exercise, right? You did two?
So he just followed the instructions. That's what, you know, I didn't mean to neglect anything. You know, if I don't say it, it's a part of it. I just want to. There's one, so we're outvoted.
I was paying attention.
I was paying attention.
So was I, but I figured it was two.
Yes, right. See, apparently I may have just said cut it off here for the exercise, because sometimes you get confused, you know, sometimes it's half, sometimes
it's half. I figured it was probably two, so I did half of it.
Oh, you weren't very sure. All right. So anyway, well, let's make that for next week then. We'll have the two.
Oh, okay. All right with me.
You've already got in a good position there,
in a good position.
We'll give you bonus points.
Bonus points.
All right.
Probably need them too.
Let's take a look at our tonight's work. Of course, we have our exercises in paragraph 292. We have page 120, lesson 36, first aorist, indicative, active, and middle. The vocabulary words, I sanctify is what? I sanctify.
Hagiazo.
Don't forget your rough breathing over the alpha. I reign or I am king. Your key on hagiazo is hag. That's the hag. Hagios. Also the holy, like Holy Spirit, hagios. Pneuma. Hagia. Pneuma, I guess. Hagia. I reign or I am king.
Pasilevo.
Pasilevo. All right. That's a, I see. All right. I thought it was some other.
Rats. Eat that rat.
I behold is what? I behold. I look on. Okay.
Say
Thou am I. I purify. All right. I katharizo. Airo is to lift up. And kata is completely lifting up, therefore to cleanse the way, to completely take away, in that sense, to purify. But kaparizo is a separate verb in of itself. I destroy. Katharize, for instance, is the English word for I purify. Purify through elimination of waste products. I destroy is katalio. I make blind or I blind someone.
Tiflao.
All right, then the second aorist, or first aorist rather, the sigmatic aorist. We're into that now tonight, beginning. First aorist indicative active of Leo is, let's say it together, Elusa. Infinitive? Lusai. All right, try that again. Elusan. And then Lusai. Lusai, all right. What does that mean?
I loosed.
I unhinged. I broke up. I dissolved. Now I'm wondering, see, the V is like the Ypsilon in a sense. Lu, I don't know. Only if that has pretty much the same. This I don't know. It's close. A little dissolved and loose things down so it breaks up and breaks apart. All right, let's go look first to aorist indicative middle of Leo. What does the middle of loose mean? What two senses? Direct, middle, indirect middle.
Loose for myself.
I loose for myself, for my own advantage.
Being loosed.
No, not being loosed. Mm-hmm. No, that would be the passage. Yeah, it was being loosed.
I was loosed.
I was loosed? No, that would be a passive also.
I was for myself or... there is no middle? I mean, there is no passive?
Or there's passive, but that's separate parts. See, this isn't the middle or passive together. See, remember the aorist. You got a separate, whole separate form for the aorist passive. It's a whole separate form, yes. That's
another one.
Over here, eluthe, with a theta aided. No, we haven't come up to that yet. No. So this would be, what's the direct middle and indirect middle? Indirect middle is I loose for myself, for my own benefit, see. That's indirect middle. What's direct middle? You're tied up.
I loose myself.
Mm-hmm. That's the direct middle. Mm-hmm. All right, let's read, say what those are then. First there, the middle of Leo. Elusame, eluso, elusata. Elusamata, elusista, elusanta. I try that in the infinitive. Elusastai. All right, again. Elusame, eluso, elusata. Elusamata, elusaste, elusanta. And infinitive. Elusastai.
Now, what's the infinitive?
Well, that would be to loose for yourself.
To loose for oneself.
Yes, or to loose yourself.
What's the other one?
The other one would be just simply to loose, yeah. Once for all, point action, to loose all of a sudden, rather than gradually untying. I suppose that would be the distinction between the present infinitive and that. Any other question on that? All right, boy, with that in mind, not knowing how this extra exercise, I might have assigned then this...
we do have two other declensions here.
On the previous...
Page 1.
All right, well, that's what I was amazed. Yes, I didn't know that. I didn't remember that. Mm-hmm. Yes, we did partition that up, or partition that up, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Just starting with Vastalivus. All right, let's try that. And page 118, paragraph 288. Of course, give me the hoc basileus, give me the article right down the line, but just with the word itself. Basileus, basileos, basileos, basile, 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 basilea, basileu, the eu, eu, sort of like eu. Right, plural. Basileus, basileon, basileon, basileusi, 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 basileus. Again. First, starting with the top, singular. Basileus, basileos, basileos, basile, 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 basilea, basileu, basileis, basileon, basileon, basileusi, 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 basileis. All right, any questions on the king? All right, let's go to the word genos. That would be the neuter, wouldn't it be? Ta genos. Talk genus, and genus is the genus, or genus. Starting with a singular, genus, 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 gene, 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 genus. In the plural, gene, genon, genon, genesi, 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 gene. Are there any questions on those, or the vocabulary, anything else? All right, if not, get out your papers, please, and put your names on. The date is the 14th of March, March 14th. Next week, we will have spring, March 21st.
Mm-hmm.
That is approximately, that's what I'm trying to get at it. So, papers there. All right, we'll assign the things to give, first of all, I guess, and vocabulary last, probably just easy. Although, vocabulary is better, then you know how many lines you got. Yeah, I guess that's for you. I don't have to count up. All right, let's go to the vocabulary on page 120. Number one, I make blind, or I blind. Number two, I sanctify, or set apart. Number three, I destroy. Number four, I behold. Number five, I purify. Number six, I reign, or I am king. Any questions on the vocabulary? All right, those six. In addition to that, take ha, basileus, with the articles all the way down, singular and plural. Take ta genos with the articles all the way down also, please. And then take the first aorist and make the active of lio plus the infinitive. First aorist also the indicative middle of lio plus the infinitive. And tell the meaning of both those aorists. And any questions on the assignment? Go ahead and let me know when you're finished. All right, all of you got 100. So that's good. 99 is as good as 100. All right, let me take this in here and let me give you these back then.
Hold on. Emmanuel Malone.
And any other questions on this week's work before we go on to next week?
Yeah, I had a question on something.
All right.
I wrote it down, too.
That's good. What exercise is easy today? It scares me when it's
page 104.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name. On page 104, exercise 5, not exercise 5, but there's an example, example 5 there on the use of the circumstantial participle.
Mm-hmm. Example 5, all right.
And that's a subjunctive, home, isn't it?
No, it's just a regular of which, of whom. I said being, no, excuse me, being, no. That's the
subjunctive,
just the, well, being blind. That's just the participle, is it not?
Whom?
No, not home, it's not home, it's just own, see, own. It's participle. I, blind being, see. But that's the participle we haven't come to, see. Own, usa, on, is the participle of verb to be. See, this is the nominative of it. This is the masculine of it. See, the own, with the smooth breathing, see. Usa is a feminine participle, the woman who is being something, and then on, just simply on, like that.
Okay.
That would be your neuter.
Okay.
The own is being. I being blind.
Because that would be first person, that could also be first person of the subjunctive of I am, too, couldn't it?
Subjunctive I am, well, let's see.
Because that's what I thought. I was
Let's take a look at that and see in the book that you have a page there. We can look at prayer. It's possible. It's the own. I guess you would have that. But we haven't come to participles yet. That's the...
Page 74.
74. Page 74. All right. This is own.
Yeah, I know. I thought the movable new one.
No.
I wouldn't go there, huh?
I wouldn't be a part of it, see.
Mm-hmm.
You look under the own, and you'll find that's the... that's the genitive participle of... that's home, or genitive plural of hos, but that's with the rough breathing.
Mm.
Take the smooth breathing. Oh, nominative, singular, masculine participle, present verb of ame, see. So that's what you have to look at.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Right, anything else? Any other questions before we go on to the new work? All right, let's look at the new assignment for next week. It's inadvertently, we did not assign the second exercise for paragraph for exercise 36. So we'll take paragraph 309, put the high spots of these things out. We're supposed to take 37, all 37, and most of 38. But now we'll take that exercise 309 plus vocabulary 310. Make a note of that.
Mm-hmm.
The first aorist, subjunctive, active, and middle, paragraph 311. I normally assign 313 to see the forms of agapao, agapeso. Let's see how our assignment shakes down when we finish, and also a portion I usually assign 314. We can hold that until we see what we got. Exercise 318, so that's two exercises. Then the vocabulary, paragraph 319. All right, what a raft of things. And then we have first aorist active participle of Leo, masculine feminine neuter, on paragraph 320. Then you can clench in the pas-pas-a-pan, 324. That's all, but that's quite sufficient, isn't it?
Yeah.
First day of spring is going to be busy.
Yeah, first day of spring, the 31st of March. If you have any other way of breaking that up, I'd listen to it. But the following week we'll have 39, which has got a lot of good lessons too.
How many exercises do we have? Two, huh?
Two.
Yeah. Should have had the two tonight, but...
I don't care. Just stick with it.
It'll only get worse at school, right?
Right. They didn't want to get any better at school anyway. It's already in its apex.
All right, let's take a look then.
It's one or the other, right?
Starting with the page 125, the first aorist subjunctive, active, and middle. All right, the vocabulary, first of all, the wind is what?
Animos.
Animos. Forget your article, animos.
Yeah, animos.
You forgot your articles too, Manny, on those. Paul Basileus, or on air, something. See.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, I didn't take off on it, but I assume that you know those. But ha animos, anima, you know the animus, you know that word in English, and of course, it usually means the wind of adversity, when you're angry at somebody, or animosity. I think so. Animus, animosity, I think it is. Although.
So that's not like the.
Spelled a little differently there. Mm-hmm. Spelled a little bit. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's not like the other wind that was used for spirit.
Pneuma.
Pneuma,
yeah, pneuma. No, this
different
wind apparently
type.
Is the. Well, I guess there are synonyms, all right. This is the exclusively the breeze and the breath and the. As we say, the wind, but the Holy Spirit, of course, is spirit and wind.
But it's translated wind.
Goes, yes, it is. The wind both were listed then for once in John chapter 3, for instance. Let's see if Prince has animus and his.
Probably not,
since it's one thing.
You don't have a lot of confidence.
No, he does have. 276. He does have it in there. So.
And it's just.
276. Well, there's Pnoe, P, Noon, a new Omicron, Eta, Pnoe, which is air. I have the summation of it. And Pneuma, which is like Ruach in Hebrew, the spirit. Then Animos, which is wind. Then Lilops, which is a squall. And then Thuela, which is strong tempest. It's the strongest yet.
Mm-hmm.
So Pnoe and Pneuma are not seldom together. Pnoe conveys the impression of a lighter, gentler motion of the air than Pneuma has aura than Ventus. Pneuma is seldom used, and indeed only in John 3:8 and Hebrews 1:7, used in other words for wind. Septuagint is used often, several times, Genesis 8 and Ezekiel and Ecclesiastes. But animos, Aristotle, De Mundi gives this account, Uden Garest and animos, plain song, he goes on. Like ventus and wind, animos is usually the strong, oftentimes the tempestuous wind. And it gives some verses on that. Lilops is a squall, and Thuela, joined with Nophos, whenever it refers to the Septuagint. And that's a wilder, fiercer gale than all the others. So it does have it, and it analyzes it. So animos, in summation, would be strong, oftentimes tempestuous wind, not just the pneuma, which would be perhaps the lightest, Pnoe, and then Pnoma is a little heavier, but this is heavier yet, see, for wind. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Animus. All right, I marvel is what?
Thamazo.
All right, Thamazo. I wonder. Marvel. Strong, and as to strong, maximum thermometer is what?
Iskuros,
right? A strong Iskuros. I don't know any memory hints on that one particularly. The judgment is what?
What's your article?
The judgment.
Krima.
Krima. I thought Krima probably, although it is accented, it probably is the short vowel for Krima. Of course, it could be Krima. Of course, crime is there. Judgment that is inflicted upon a crime. A judgment has been made, a crime. I hate.
Misero.
You've got that in misogynist, misandros, and wife hater, or woman hater, misogynist, misogyne, from misero, to hate. And I conquer, this one.
Nikao.
Nike Zeus is a conqueror. Nike. Nikao. Nicolaitans. Niko is the conquering, and Laos, the people. Keep conquering the people. People in subjection to the clergy and other things. Nicolaitans. Mm-hmm. And Nomidzo is what?
I think.
So the elder is what? That's right. How about that? The elder.
Press Buderas.
What's your article? Ha, Press Buderas. Press Presbyter, of course, is there, an elder. That's either an older person, an older man, or an elder, is an official elder of the church, which would be an elder, bishop, pastor, right? All right, I cause to stumble or offend.
Scandalizo.
Right? Scandalizo. And that's a scandalos is a trap, and I cause to stumble on that trap or get in, walk into the trap, scandalizo. Scandalize is our English word. The fear is what?
Phobos.
And this, of course, phobia is, we have that in English too, don't we? The need is what? The need.
Hechreia.
And chreia, let's see, need. I guess that's, there are words that we have in English like that, but I can't think of any offhand. Any questions on the vocabulary there? All right, we have 10 vocabulary words. Let's go over to 311. The first aorist subjunctive, active, and middle of view. Now, how would you use the first aorist subjunctive, say active? What would it mean, and where would you use it? What kind of context?
Condition?
Yeah, you can use condition. Probably in the past time, you use it in the past tense. You talked about it yesterday, we went home.
Would it be an if, like, if I loosed?
Yes, if I had loosed, if I might have loosed from Crete, I would. If you had not loosed from Crete, you wouldn't have gotten in the shipwreck, something like that. So I contrary to fact, anything along that line. That's the one thing, that one of the many things that aggravates me with the New King James Version. They just about obliterate the subjunctive mood in English. And all the if clauses, you know, where you'd say, if he give this unto somebody, and they say, if he gives, you know, change it right into the, without, into the subjunctive English, back into the indicative mood. Many, many times, just over and over and over. So apparently they banned that from the English language, which is unfortunate. But here we got the structure. All right, let's go on. Notice the formation of it. It's the stem, lus, and then the O-S-A, omen eta osi, which is the verb to be. So the subjunctive is merely the verb to be. O-S-A, omen eta osi. Those verb to be endings on the root of the stem. All right, let's say it together, singular plural, first aorist subjunctive active. Luso. Lusomen, lusete, lusose. Again. Luso, luses, luse. Lusomen, lusete, lusose. Right, now the middle, which would be if I loosed for myself, or if I had not loosed myself or for myself. All right, let's just try the middle. Lusomai, luse, lusetai. Lusometa, luseste, lusontai. Lusontai. Again. Lusomai, luse, luseta. Lusomata, luseste, lusontai. Any questions on the middle? Well, the subjunctive is separate. That's a different form, leaving aorist, so we won't have to confuse that at this point. All right.
It's very similar to the future, though, isn't it?
Yes. You notice the future is...
We're going to get confused very soon here.
It's the same one.
If they start mixing them up.
The future is luso, luces, luce. That's the subjunctive, though. Future is going to the right. That's the subjunctive here. Future is luso, luces, luce. Epsilon iota sigma. Epsilon iota. So that's different. Luso amen, amen instead of omen.
It's omen.
Yeah, amen, amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's just like this.
And lucete, epte, instead of ete. And lususi, it's a lusosi. The endings are primarily O, S, A, O, Amen, Ete, Usi, with a short epsilon iota rather than eta. Now that's the difference there, see, eta iota subjugate. So the subjunctive just increases that epsilon to the eta, and Usi to Osi. So there are some differences there. Any other observation? Are these others, paragraph 311, the bottom is an observation, 312 is observation on formation. Any question on those? That's background information. All right, then 313, paragraph 313 on page 126. We'll take a look at that one. The formation of the first air subjunctive of verbs with stems ending in a short vowel or a mute. Now, you notice we have on page 123 labials, palatals, and linguals. I guess there's no mutes as such, so I guess I thought that gave you all the division, but it doesn't. Labials.
What's a mute again?
Well, a mute is... that which is silent, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see, where are we? Agapao, the ending of the stem of the first air. First air is agapao, agapeso. I'm just trying to see what the vowels for mutes would be. I think it's a silent.
Mutes are consonants where you shut off the... Aren't they without
extending it?
Shut off the breathing passage.
Yes, breathing passage is shut off so that you don't continue it. It's just sort of a...
That's a mute, right?
See, maybe it's a...
Yeah.
See, it's mute because it doesn't continue. Mm, you can continue. Oh, you can continue, but once you hit the... It's, of course, that's a plosive. Let me see, that's a good question to see the number of mutes.
91, 93.
91? Mm-hmm. Got it? Okay.
Well, there's different sections on it. We've covered just about everything they claim it for mutes, so it goes back as far as paragraph 91.
Oh, and paragraph 91.
Yeah.
Okay.
Paragraph 91, 93 to 96, 106, 108.
91.
That's probably...
91. 91, you say? 91?
Yeah, maybe those are pages.
Paragraph 91? Oh, I don't see it.
Maybe
pages.
Yeah.
I think they're pages. Page 91. Yeah, certain consonants called mutes are stops because in forming them, the pass of the breath for a moment is for a moment closed. Yeah, that would be just the labial mutes. Palatal mutes, go. Because once you hit them, you can't hold them. Well, you could, but I mean, it's not a sound, it's
right.
A breath.
Right.
The aspiration. See?
That one you can't hold.
No, you get it.
Yeah, you end up.
With the aspiration.
Really
right. So that would be the thing. It's the mute, so, and that's what I was looking for in the southern, and they weren't included. So that's a good thing to have reference to. These are the mutes that. There's more or less, once you hit them, they stop down, they quiet down a little bit. I guess you had another thing?
No.
Okay, yeah. So the mute with the short vowel or mute, the same, we might as well put where you have the mute there. Let me put page 91, that'd be a good thing to refer back to, and tie that right in with that, and then 91. Make a reference over there to page 126. That's what I think it's good to do. All right. The same change we made in the end of the stem as in the first aorist indicative. Paragraph 303. Paragraph 303.13. Thus, first aorist subjunctive of agapao, agapeso. Well, that's, we've seen this with the sigma. Agapao, agapeso, changing the alpha to the eta, it increases there. think that table is what they're referring to on 303, is it not? Yes, alpha is lengthened to eta, and epsilon is lengthened to eta. So. And then poiao is what?
Poiesta.
Just add the sigma and increase the augment the epsilon to the eta. And plerao is what?
Pleroso.
Pleroso. Tempo is what?
Tempo.
I see that's Pemso. The identical form of the future. Tempo, tempo. I will send, or that I might send. See, in the aorist. That's the same form, aorist subjunctive, in that instance. Archomai.
Archomai.
You see, in fact, you mentioned, Steve, about their being similar.
The first person, the first singular.
First person
is the
singular,
same.
Yeah, identical, yeah. Luso, that's right. So we've got that. See, because there's no augment in the subjunctive to give it away that way. So you just have to see by the context.
Yeah, it's just a problem, the first person singular.
You see, that's the difference, for instance, between the reading of our King James Version, the text receptus, and Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God, echomen, versus the Westcott and Hort reading, therefore having been justified by faith, let us have peace with God, echomen. Just that one difference involved, is it something we should strive for, having had peace, made peace with God, having been justified by faith, or is it something we definitely have, see? Well, I think the context and I think the textual history and everything else would back up to reading the text receptus that we have, echomen, right now, peace with God.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't, then we're in doubt about the peace that we have. See, in other words, if let us have peace with God, not having been justified by faith, let us have peace, as if we don't have it, we've got to strive for it. See, mm-hmm. That's a subjunctive, or a hortatory subjunctive. See. So a lot of these are interesting. In fact, on agreement, I told you I was reading this book, this 600-page book, An Inquiry into the Integrity of the Greek Vulgate, a received text in the New Testament, in which the Greek manuscripts are newly classified, the integrity of the authorized text vindicated, and the various readings traced to their origin by Frederick Nolan, Presbyter of the United Church, 1815. Tremendous book with lots of quotations and all sorts of Latin and Greek and sometimes Hebrew they need to. But it's interesting enough that this man, I think, does more for the authenticity of 1 John 5:7 than any man I've ever read. He discounts the Eastern Church and its store of manuscripts, the Greek, as being fairly slight. But the Western Church, the Latin Church, almost unanimous with the three witnesses right there in the Latin Sea. And he goes back into the history as to why that took place, and he goes back to the fact that Eusebius was told by Constantine, and he himself was an Arian, Eusebius, when he got these manuscripts together, he dropped that particular verse, as he dropped God, Theos, manifest in the flesh. That's his thesis in 1 Timothy 3:16. As he dropped what's the other one? The blood of God, see, mm-hmm. in Acts 20:28. That's another one. He takes up those three particularly because they don't want any. They say the blood of the Lord, Kyrie, instead of Theos, the deity of Christ, Adonai. Well, Eusebius was an Arian, and Constantine, when he reigned, was under Arian control and not a Christian himself. And during 340 AD to 381 AD, 41 years. During which time Eusebius made the particular doctrine or textual changes in his manuscripts in the Greek, the Arians were in control. It's interesting. But in the Western Church, the Roman, the Latin Church, the Old Italic, especially the Old Latin, that was not the case. And so they kept that in there. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he says, both in the passage in Timothy, 1 Timothy 3:16, and in 1 John 5:7 is, that the text that the Greek church has given, you know, the vast majority of the ones given, although it's in our text receptus, received text, they did receive it, that as many did receive it, And it's in the Greek Orthodox Church text today. The Greek church uses it. But the manuscript evidence for it was weaker in the Greek set. And he says the text that we have in the from the Greek church or the Eastern church is an anomaly because it does not agree in gender with the antecedents that it's supposed to modify. Nor is it good as far as the 1 Timothy 3:16. That is an anomalous situation. Some of the things, of course, that's got great Greek support as well as Latin support. That's not as difficult to see, but you see, the theos, God manifest in the flesh, is one thing. But when you have hos, great is the mystery, which is mysterion, taught mysterion, neuter. And then you have hos, he who was manifest in the flesh, great is the mystery of godliness. He who is manifest in the flesh does not go with mysterion. Theos, God manifest in the flesh, is a completely new thought. Now, you see, there are some manuscripts that read ha, which was manifest in the flesh. The neuter ha instead of hos, which is masculine. Tom mysterion, great is the mystery of godliness, ha. And of course, this explains why that was changed. Very few manuscripts have the ha, but some of them do. The vast majority of them have theos, so that's not as critical and crucial. But I want to point out that he goes into the context and the Greek structure. But in his defense of 1 John 5:7, not only does he go into great length with the history of the Arian heresy at that time that was arriving and rising to try to thrust it out of the Trinity, out of the Bible, but also he goes into the context of that particular passage. And there again, you don't have the way the Greek text is, it's an anomalous situation as far as agreement is concerned. For instance, in 1 John 5:7, you have these who bear witness, tres ha marturentes, who are bearing witness. Now hoi, as hoi marturentes, is masculine participle plural, hoi marturentes, those who are marturao, bearing witness, marturao. And then they have, right after that, because they've taken out about 15 or 20 words, whatever it is, 25 words in the Greek text, they've taken that all out, and they end up saying, in juxtaposition with hoi marturentes, they say, ta pneuma, kai ta hudor, kai ta haima, the spirit, and the water, and the blood, which are all neuters. And you have neuters going with masculine participle, which is an anomaly. It's absolutely un-Greek. It's just, now, to say John wrote that sloppy Greek is not good. Now, they say John is no good in his writing in Greek, and but not that bad. This is a very great solecism, as he calls it. In other words, it's an anomaly. It just doesn't occur in Greek. But if you take the exact wording that the Latin church and the Latin language and all the manuscripts, virtually 100%, from the Vulgate to the Old Latin right on down to all the extant editions of the Latin, you put those words in there, which the Western church, untouched by Arianism, which denies the Trinity and denies that Jesus Christ is the Word and He's God, and He did it. You know, that's the thing that the Arians didn't want to say, that the Word, He was just a force, it was a created substance after, it's like an angel. So, that Latin church, you put those Latin words back in here, translate them into the Greek language, you put the context in there, and it fits perfectly, because then you'd have, there are hoi maturentes, and here's the words added, en to urano, in the heaven, then ha pater, ha logos, kai tohagion pnama. There's one neuter, but the two first leading ones are masculine. Ha pater, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, see, who bear witness. It's interesting, the way they've got the thing down there. And then there are three that bear witness on the earth, and here is, you see, if they had said in heaven, that'd be one thing, but they omit that, see. They say three that bear witness, then topanama, then it's neutercy. So it should have been ha marturenta. See? Ha marturenta, the ones neuter-wise, right? Hos he ha. Remember, this would be ha. It would be ha plural. So that's an interesting thing. But he's got some very, very interesting He's a real thinker, this fellow Noah. And it's a classic. It really is a classic. And I really think, as I told Ruth, I said, I really feel that what we're going to do is make this available in manuscript in copy machine form, because it's unique and it's excellent. And I think it gives some people things to chew on. See, his thesis is, why do we only necessarily have to have the Greek church to maintain the New Testament? Why not also the Roman church? Why not East as well as West? See, what is... normally we've taken the Greek to be that's the one that takes care of our text and preserves it, but you see, that's not like the case of the Hebrew, where you have unto them are committed the oracles of God. That's in Romans. That's a definite scriptural thing, and God has committed his word to the Jewish people, therefore they've got to keep it in that Hebrew language. That's why I reject the Septuagint and the Vulgate and all these other things when they say, let's change the Hebrew Masoretic text. I throw it out. There, that's something. But the New Testament, does God tell us that it has to be preserved only in the Greek versus the Latin? Now, I grant you, it is the language, and therefore the logical thing is to preserve it in the Greek and to keep it. But are there no exceptions? And that's what he's getting at, see. And I was just reading this today. I've only gotten to page 293. But let me sum up what he says very quite logically. He says, respect to 1 John 5:7. He gives the fathers, church fathers, a quote, the 1 John 5:7. He gives it the quote, these three other passages, 1 Timothy 3:16, God manifests in the flesh, and of course, the blood of God, in other words, being purchased with his own blood, the church of God. Feed the church of God, which is purchased with his own blood, Acts 20:28. But he says, with respect to 1 John 5:7, the case is materially different. If this verse be received, it must be admitted on the single testimony of the Western Church, as your Latin, as far at least as respects the external evidence. Internal evidence, he says, he's got a good case for acceptance regardless because of the context, because of the neuters versus the masculine and so on. And though it may seem unwarrantable to set aside the authority of the Greek Church and pay exclusive respect to the Latin, where a question arises on the authenticity of a passage which properly belongs to the text of the former, that is, the Greek Church, yet, when the doctrine inculcated in that passage is taken into account, there may be good reason for giving even a preference to the Western Church over that of the Eastern. See, the Latin versus the Greek. The former, that is, the Western, was uncorrupted by the heresy of the Arians, who rejected the doctrine of the passage in question. Footnote 295, see above, page 110 of the footnote. The latter, that is, the Eastern Church, the Greek Church, was wholly resigned to that heresy for at least 40 years. Footnote 295, see above, page 29. While the Western Church retained its purity and so on. So then he says, under these circumstances, this is page 294 of Nolan, there seems to be little reasonableness in allowing the Western Church any authority and denying it, in this instance, a preference over the Eastern. So, that's his conclusion. Page 110, let me take a look at that footnote there. See if I... But anyway, I haven't finished the whole thing. He's keeping it going, and I'm very much interested in it. I just read a little bit as cool as I can. Yes, he says on 110. Yes, he says, talks about the scripture canon, which has been preserved in the region. Remember I told you last time the different men held to the canon of the same exact books in the New Testament? Both Jerome in the Latin and also the Greek Athanasius for the Greek. They both held the same context, the same books exactly. Yes, he says again here, it is this circumstance which adds so much weight to the testimony of the Latin Church as it preserved its faith unimpaired during the period of 40 years when the Greek Church resigned itself to the errors of Arius. At page 29, apparently, is what gives that in more detail. Yes, he says, there will be less reason to dispute his power over the copies of the original Greek. This is Eusebius now. This historian that wrote Eusebius' church history, see, ecclesiastical history. Let us add these circumstances, further circumstances. The pious emperor who had employed him, this is of course Constantine, who had employed him to revise the text, had been at considerable pains and expense to multiply copies of Scripture, and that the edition thus dispersed was altered, as altered by Eusebius, was peculiarly accommodated to the opinions of the Arians, who from the reign of Constantine to that of Theodosius, for at least 40 years, footnote says, Eusebius from the See of Nicomedia to Constantinople, AD 340 to the convening of the Fourth Council of Byzantium out of Theodosius, AD 381. So that's 340 to 381, that's 41 years. Under the reign of Constantine, and so on, or unlimited sway over the church, and so on. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, on the bottom here, on the Arianism, this is the point that may be established in the declaration of the Council of Philippopolis. Under the schism which took place in the Council of Sardica between the Eastern and Western churches, when the Orientalists declared for the opinions of Arius, the strongest protest of that council was directed against the doctrine of one substance, which is asserted in the aforementioned verses, 1 John 5:7, 1 Timothy 3:16, and so on, which I conceive were suppressed in Eusebius' edition. So, anyway, he's got different things on that. But he makes a good case also for the fact that Eusebius himself was an Arian and did not believe in the Trinity. Mm-hmm. And he's got different quotes in that proving that. So, in fact, he says on page 39, he says, Eusebius, it is notorious that Eusebius shamefully prevaricated in the celebrated Council of Nicaea. You see, the doctrine of Christ was being argued in 325 A.D., he first positively accepted against it, against the Council of Nicaea, against that standard, and then subscribed to it. And he has a footnote. And if you don't believe what he's saying, he puts the footnote and quotes Eusebius in Greek. So it's interesting. He gives the whole context, and when it's the Latin, he quotes him in Latin. He was at least at heart an Arian. That's what he says. Then he says, Eusebius erred from a hatred to the peculiar notion of Sabellius. He erred from a hatred of Sabellius. Sabellianism, of course, is an offshoot of Arianism, and similar to who, in maintaining that Christ was the first person incarnate, had confounded the persons, and so on. So this whole Trinitarian controversy was wrapped up in this. Eusebius, in copying this for Constantine, that's the theory, at least, that's the statement that is undermined and shamed. But I wanted to point that out. It was revolving around this idea of 1 John 5:7 and 1 Timothy, of case and so on, and agreement, because I think we dealt with that last time. There's not agreement of the noun with its adjective and the hos and the hay and the different things. All right. Acapello, we got Apoyero, Poyero, I don't know how we got into that. What did we talk about? Tempo, where are we on? Poyero, Poyeroso. I guess we're talking about the future. The only way you could tell the difference. Got sidetracked. All right, tempo is what? Page 127, the aorist stem. Tempo, that's like the future, isn't it? Archomai is what? Arxomai. Now you can tell the difference there because of arxomai with the omicron. Here's arxomai with the omega. Peso is what?
Peso.
You drop with the theta, you just drop the theta right out and change it into the sigma. Sozo is what?
So-so.
Now that's the same as the future, isn't it? It's so-so. And peso, I guess, is the same as the future. But arxomai, we got that omai versus omai. You can tell the difference. All right, any questions on these? These are the formational type things. I guess with all the other work we have to do, we'll drop that out. Paragraph 314, write the first error subjunctive of Aiteo, it would be Aiteso, Erotao, Erotesto, and so on. Fanero, Fanereso, Faneroso. They manifest Decomai, Dexomai, let's see, Dexomai. Grapho, Grapso, Blepo, Blepso, Sozo. So-so, see, I say, that's all they say, but we won't go into that either. That's pretty much the same as paragraph 313. Any questions on that?
I have one question. No. Something bugs me that guy said in there.
Nolan.
Yeah. He's talking about the Eastern and the Western Church, and how the Eastern Church, I realize, has been predominantly Arian, or has been
Arian 41 years, from 340 AD to 381. Not only that, during that time.
See? Well, they have been...
Which, of course, is the date of A, B, and Aleph, by the way, the Vatican and the Sinai manuscripts, and these Eusebian things. Go ahead. Well, not that it was there any beyond that or before that. It was solid. During this time, the ones in charge of it, the hierarchy of the bishops, the archbishops, you know, whatever they call themselves, the prelates, they were completely in charge. They just had it lock, stock, and barrel. And then they left that heresy and went off into the Trinitarianism and they got back on course. Of course, today they're both apostate, let's face it, and they were probably in those days in a lot of areas, but were they able to guard the scriptures or were they not? That's the issue.
Yeah, but what bugs me is when did the church schism come to win the
East and West?
That was later.
Yes, well, they had a whole bunch of schisms, that's true. The split between East and West, what was it, 6, 5... I don't know, 481. I don't know the historical.
I forget it. But they still had like two.
They had two different followers.
I mean, first it was still the one pope.
Constantinople was changed when Constantine was there. Right. It used to be, what's another name for it? The Bosporus there, the Byzantium. Right. I guess it would be Byzantium. Mm-hmm.
But see, when Constantinople went over there, he said, "Well, I'm not good enough to be here in Rome," and he went over to the other side.
Yeah,
made another
that split.
Which was still early. I mean, they hadn't split from east and west, but they had fights.
Right. He mentions in here one of the first schisms that they had was the fight in the battle over Easter. When to celebrate Easter? Was it this time or this time?
Right.
And I guess they still celebrate different times. And he mentions the date on that. He mentions in that time. He had some point in bringing that up because at that time they were fighting about Arianism also and different things and so forth.
Right.
So now I don't know whether I have to
confuse
them more or did I clear that up.
I thought that the whole church was leaning toward Arianism at that point in those 40 years, both East and West.
Well, apparently, according to him, not.
There was only, as a matter of fact, I thought there was only like three bishops or something who were fighting along with Athanasius toward his viewpoint.
Yeah, it was a...
And most of them were semi-Arian or Arian. I mean, not Arian, but they were semi-Arian.
There weren't too many following Athanasius.
Not at all.
No. In fact, he was unaccepted as far as any change, didn't he? I've got that book over there, by the way, that the creeds of the historic documents of the Christian Church, and that would give us the picture there, and I'm not sure in my mind just when that was. But at least that's his feeling there, that the others were free from that. Now, the Eastern West Churches is when the Orientalists declared for the opinions of Arius. Now, that would be the Eastern Orientalists. He's saying that on page 28. Mm-hmm. And apparently the others did not. So, in other words, he says that the declaration of the Council of Philippopolis, Philip's city, after the schism which took place in the Council of Sardica, what the date he doesn't say, between the Eastern and Western churches, when the Orientalists, that is the Eastern churches, the Orient, that's the Greeks, declared for the opinions of Arius. The strongest protest of that council was directed against the doctrine of one substance, which is asserted in the formats and verses. In other words, they had actual church councils that was against the truth.
Right.
Whereas the Romanists did not concur, apparently, and they split on this. They broke company on that. So I don't know church history that well. I could check with those documents and maybe follow up on it, but that's we'd have to check further into that. Mm-hmm. That's at least what he said. I just take it that he knows wherever he speaks because he seems to be quite knowledgeable on it. Mm-hmm. But any other comments on it? All right, notice paragraph 315, the course of the kind of action, rather, of the aorist is punctiliar, subjunctive, just like the other aorist that we looked at, point action, as opposed to progressive, like the present tense. Any questions on 315? 316 follows that along, it needs to be repeated. The difference in meaning between the present subjunctive and the aorist punctiliar is the kind of action expressed. Derivative action, the present, punctiliar, and the aorist. Not necessarily tense, because the subjunctive does not convey the tense aspect. Usually, if it's conveyed at all, it's in the indicative mood, see, not in the subjunctive. Any questions on that? All right, paragraph 317, the aorist subjunctive in the second and third persons with may is used to express a prohibition, generally in the second person. For instance, do not begin to say, me arxista legging. Arxista. In the aorist, prohibition is don't start to do something. Less often in the third person, let no one cause you to err. Me tis imas panese. And this is, don't even let anyone begin to cause you to err. Now, I don't know, we haven't had that perhaps, maybe I made allusion to it, but the difference between the present prohibition in the present tense and the aorist prohibition, I guess you had this, is what? To review, what is the difference? Did we point that out several months ago?
Yeah, the present is don't continue doing something.
That's right, which and means that actually stop it. Stop the action
you're
already
doing.
You're doing it. Stop, for instance, 2 Timothy 6, 2 Corinthians 6, 14, stop yoking yourselves up with unbelievers. Huh? What did you say? Stop being equally yoked with unbelievers. See, that's an action already in progress in the present. What does the aorist prohibition convey?
Don't start.
Don't even begin. It's understand that you're not doing it, but don't even begin. That's right. Don't start it. All right. So that's the difference there. And sometimes it's let no one cause you the third person, but a lot of times it's the second person. In the subjunctive, and of course the aorist would point this thing out. Any questions on that? All right, Dana and Maddie are clear on that, and it's good to have a. Oh, here it is. Good to have a reference on that on the page. That's in the back, if I can find it quickly. Probably can't. I'll look in the index or the table of contents. Beyond commands and prohibitions. Page 299 in the following of the Dan and Maddie Intermediate Grammar. It's good to have these things down so you know here's in the future tense prohibitions and commands in the aorist tense prohibition, the aorist subjunctive, aorist and commands. The aorist subjunctive, the present imperative, prohibition contrasted, base 301. Thus, prohibition expressed with the present tense demands a cessation from act already in progress. Page 302, prohibition in the aorist tense, warning or agitation against doing a thing not yet begun. A lot of Greek teachers don't believe that's the case, and I've, I think Spiros Rodiates, in one of his expositions on the radio, I heard him one Sunday, he made nothing of this. It was a prohibition in the present or prohibition in the aorist, one of the two, and he did not bring this out at all. He just passed right over. So maybe he doesn't believe it exists. Or from the Greek, to buy a Greek, and so on, all this. But I don't know. I heard another man, I don't know what program, one of these radio programs on CHR, I guess it is, in Trenton, the Christian FM station. And again, there was a man who claimed to know Greek, and he was quoting a man who claimed to know Greek something, and he was talking about this issue, and he didn't bring it up. He just said it means this, and he didn't bring this to us. So I see all different, all people don't, either don't understand it, or don't know about it, or don't believe it, or something. But that's one reason why you should definitely get the book Dana and Maddie, if not Robertson's Large Thick Grammar, or both. Actually, Dana and Maddie is a real good summation of Robertson and a lot of other grammars all made into one. So that you'll have some of these points of syntax and grammar in a coherent volume that you'll always have to keep for referring and reference as you expound the scripture is very important. And some of these rules are very important to you as you go through. All right, if no questions on that, let's go then. Of course, you'll take the exercises there. Let's go on to page 128, the next vocabulary. We have, about 11 more words. Adjective righteousness is what? Asking for an under. I'm excuse me, unrighteousness. Dikaios is righteous. That's Dikaios. This is what?
Adikos.
Dikai, I guess it is. Adikos, Adikai, Adikon. All right? Master Feminator. The adjective unable or impossible is what?
Adunatos.
Adunatos. Adunaton. Now, what do you judge from those structures?
I mean, not able.
See, and what else do you judge when only the neuter is given? And only two instead of three in the adjective.
The cross is masculine and feminine.
That's right. You have an ambivalent gender here. What do they call it? The androgynous.
Amen. I believe, I agree with you, see. And therefore, truly, it is true. Verily, it is real truth in what you're saying. So this is what that background. I think you'll find the etymology would be that. Rather than the alpha privative, nothing to do with that. It's just the Hebrew moving along. By the way, that word sila in the Psalms, you have sila, S-E-L-A-H. That means pause. I know in this vocabulary I'm going over in the Hebrew. I'm taking a breather on that, though. It's interesting. But that, I come to that as sila. A lot of times, you know, you go into that Psalm as sila all the time, and you wonder, my mother-in-law used to tell me it means think of that, you know, so on. But I mean, that Hebrew just means a pause. You pause right here, and it's a word for pause.
Yeah, I looked it up because I was curious about that,
yeah,
too. Sure. And it said it meant raise.
To raise, like raise your voice.
Like raise your voice.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like
interesting.
Maybe
like
music,
a musical, a musical
crescendo in
music.
Yeah,
because that made to be sung.
Yeah, that's true. Raise, that's interesting. But I know this particular Harper's meaning, and I haven't looked it up myself, but it is simply said that gives that for pause, sila. So maybe raise, maybe pause, maybe both. All right, now I'm interrupting my review of Hebrew vocabulary with some tapes, sermons of my mother and father-in-law's pastor, Pastor Polson, Pastor John Polson. Dr. Polson's down there at the Summit Shores Baptist Church in St. Petersburg, Florida. And they tape them because Mom can't leave the house because she takes care of Beverly, my wife's sister, who's mentally deficient and can't even feed herself anything, clothe herself, just absolutely vegetable. She's 50 years of age, so they're going to have her 50 years. But so at this point, one of them stays home. But anyhow, the tapes are there. It's interesting. I listened to them. A good preacher, very good preacher, really a student of the Word of God. He was formerly the president of Spurgeon Baptist College, which is one of our GRB for schools in Spurgeon in Mulberry, Florida. But he left there to be pastor of the church, and my mom and dad are in-law are so happy, and I am too, because he's really a solid man, teaching the scriptures. He's got a lot of background and many years of experience as a pastor, you know, and he really digs into things. But some of these messages I'm going to offer for the Bible for today, that's why I'm listening to them. I've got about 48 or 50 of them. I've got only about four or five to listen to, but I want to use one, I tell you. I'm going to call it the Bill Gothard Chain of Command Refuted. See, now he didn't mention Gothard in there, but he's talking about Colossians. He's expounding the text in Colossians with fathers and mothers, you know, husbands and wives and children and servants and masters, those five things. And in there, he says this different man that goes around with Dolly youth seminar and stuff. He doesn't mention who it is, right? It's Bill Gothard, who says that a single person has got to be under the jurisdiction of their mother and father all their lives, you see. It's absolutely wrong. Now, you may disagree with me. He's very calm in the way he says it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see it in the scripture. And he goes on and talks about that. Then when he gets to the children, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He said, but with all this child abuse and the sex relations on the part of husbands wanting the female child to submit to sex and vice versa, sometimes the mother with the son, they're all there forget. He says, or get drunk or something like that, that's not what ought to do. You ought to say, no, you will not go against the law of God, even if it's your parents, see, because God has a standard. Now, you must be prepared to take consequences for your disobedience to your mothers or fathers, but the word of God must be first. See, and in so doing, he's contrary to Bill Gothard, who says, you obey no matter what, see. And then you figure out something else. You see, rather than to ought to obey God rather than man, he's very wishy-washy on that. So anyhow, I'm encouraged by some of these things. I don't know, I just heard a message today. He's on the book of 1 Corinthians. He takes Colossians in the morning and 1 Corinthians at night. I mean, that's just back in August of last year. I'm just coming through chronologically. Very good message, but he preached on humanism. I might have been tempted to offer that one to an excellent history on it, starting with Thomas Aquinas and Greek Socrates and Plato and Aristotle and some of the thoughts of the humanist Manifesto 1 and 2. Very, you know, he really gets right down to things and gives some good quotes, but it was so long it had to be on another tape, and by the time he transferred over to the other tape, he lost so much of the context that I can't offer, because he was going well and all of a sudden it stopped. He should have had a C 120 like we use here, but he had a C90, see, and apparently with the songs in the beginning, you know, it just cut him down, see. So anyway, I'm looking forward to having some real good, I can select out of 50 tapes. Obviously you're going to get, well, they're all good, but I don't want to just get all. I want to get the ones that I think are particularly helpful to those that are following your Bible for Day ministry. All right, boy, amen. All in the Hebrew, amen. All right, all or all together as well. The three adjectives, masculine, feminine, neuter. Hapas, and hapan. You know, we've had paspasapan, have we not?
Yeah.
All. Well, this is hapas. Hapasapan. Did we? Paspasapan. All, didn't we?
Didn't we have pas? For all?
What's
the word we have for all?
No.
Allah Tria.
Allah, no. Allah Tria study.
All right.
I looked
at. Oh, on page 130 we have, see? Oh, yeah, page 130. You see, this is the end of this vocabulary, is pas. So on page 130, two pages over, you're going to get pas, pas, pan. See, this is hapas, hapasa, hapan. It's the same ending as pas, pas, pan. All, masculine, feminine, neuter. So in this case, all are all together. I release is what? I release.
Apo,
of course, Leo is to loose, and apo is away from, release from, so completely release. Leave loose from your hand, she releases. All right, the book, or the written document, is what?
Tavid Leon, the book,
written document. And I think what the general meaning of that is that it is bound at the side, like this type of a book. See, I think that's Biblion rather than a scroll or papyrus. I think this is usually used for the this type of thing, which is the format of it. All right, I heal. And by the way, this is probably a good replica because it sometimes these had several pages, you know, just like this one, rather than just the one page at a time. They sort of sprung them out, and I think they had several pages on one, the way they did it on the manuscripts. Several, maybe even three, or well, at least they had three or four columns, put it that way, which would almost be like this. This is a column, you know, in a sense. And they, either the Sinai manuscript Aleph or the Vatican manuscript B, one had three columns, one had four. I don't remember which is which offhand. It seems like the Sinaiticus had three, and the Vaticanus, the B, had four columns, see, but they're similar to this, but bound at the edge, see, with four columns, and you open them up like a book. All right, that would be book, I heal as well. And apparel, of course, there's your therapeutic, that's a very good memory out of that, there, apparel. And then when is what? Rather than temporal pronoun, adverb?
Hotet.
Now, no, it's not hoti. That would be why or that or because. This is hotet. Okay, hotet. And when. And whenever or when is what? A relative temporal adverb.
Hotan.
All right, hotan. Hotan. Used with the subjunctive and sometimes the indicative. Whenever or when. Hotan. Hotet is when. Hotan is whenever. See, the on, that little suffix on, gives it an indefinite status. That's where sometimes, you know, these four different classes of conditions, a plus on, a on, with the subjunctive and so on, that gives it a possibility of thinking, like Robert Schuller would say. That's just a possible, and not for sure, not an indicative, but a subjunctive thought. All right, all or every is what? Masculine, feminine, neuter, pas, pasa, pan. All right? Any questions on the vocabulary then? All right, notice then 320, paragraph 320, the first aorist active participle of lio, lusas, and masculine lusasa, and lusan. Once you get the root, you get the endings, sas, santas, 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 let's see. That's Omicron, isn't it? Yeah, santas, you know, santas. Santi, 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 santa. Santes, santon, santon, sasi, 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 santas. That is not unlike some of our other endings, is it not?
Third declension.
It's a regular third declension. Just the root is different. Let's see, where is our other participles? Do we have any other?
In page 102.
102, yes. Labon. Well, the own is different. There's as. That's a, but antos, antos, anti, anti, anta. Antes, Anton, different thematic vowel. It's the omicron of the alphabet. Usi instead of Asi, that's a little different, but Antes. It's not too much unlike that, though, is it? It's not too much unlike. You can say too much unlike. Then Usa, but for the feminine, say, rather than Sasa. So it's fairly similar. So instead of Laban, it's Lusan. It's the alpha rather than the omicron. So in the first heirs, especially, remember those two keys are the sigma and the alpha. Those give you the idea of the same. All right, let's go down to the masculine, singular, and plural of Lusas. What would Lusas mean, by the way?
He's loosened, loose.
Well, he's probably having loose. In other words, a summation, a point action. See, it may be a little bit of the past time. I mean, let's face it, having loose. All right, let's go through it, singular and plural. Lusas, Lusantos, Lusantos, Lusanti, 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 Lusanta. And plural? Lusantes, Lusanton, Lusanton, Lusasi, 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 Lusantas, Lusantas. Now that is tas there instead of tas. Right, feminine then, a woman or some feminine noun that is loosing, or having been loose, or having loose rather. Right, let's go over that singular. Lusasa, notice all those sigmas, two of them. Lusasa. Lusastes, 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 Lusastan. All right, plural. Lusasai, Lusason, Lusason, Lusasais, 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 Lusasas. Then the neuter, a neuter noun that had loosed, having been loosed, like pneuma, the spirit who was loosed, something, let's say the Holy Spirit or wind. All right, singular. Lusan, Lusantos, Lusantos, Lusanti, 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 Lusan. Plural. Lusanta, Lusanton, Lusanton, Lusasti, 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 Lusanta, Lusanta. All right. There's some remarks there on the bottom of that, plus 3.1 for background. Do you have any questions on those? But if not, paragraph 3.22, the first aorist middle participle of Vio is Lusamenos, Lusamene, Lusamenon. These, of course, the root is different, but the ending is identical. So the menos, mene, menon. So, in the time past, we had to add that to the different ones, but I don't think we need that necessarily. It's like an adjective, first and second question.
Where was that? You lost me, I'm sorry.
Paragraph 322. Lusamenos, Lusamene.
The middle participle,
which the same endings, menos, mene, menon, just change the loose. Once you get the loose, you get them all the same. So I don't know if we have to repeat that or ask you to call that up at this time. Then, of course, paragraph 323, the actions art, or action of the verb is punctiliar. That applies to the participle as well as other things. Point action versus progressive action. All right, or derivative action. Paragraph 324, then the question of pas, pasapan, all. That's for the singular pas, masculine. Pas, pantos, pantos, panti, 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 panta, plural. Pantes, pantom, pantom, pasi, 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 pantas. All right, the feminine. This would be the feminine all. All the feminine daughters, you see, for instance, use that for this. All right, singular. Pasa, pase, 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 pasa, plural. Pasai, pason, pason, pasais, rather, pasais, pasais, and pasas. Pasais, 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 pasas. All right, the neuter, like, again, tadoron, the all of the gifts, or gift, all the whole gift. Singular. Pan, pantos, pantos, panti, 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 pan. And plural, panta, pantom, pantom, pasi, 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 panta. Any questions on the question there, pas, pasa, pan? There's remarks under the page 131 at the top. Notice, hapas is a strengthened form of pas, except for the accent is declined like pas. Different accent, but hapas. All or all together, strengthened form. All right, 325 is background. Any questions on that?
Does that mean it has a stronger meaning?
I would think so. I would think so. Strengthened form, all or all together, so it is all. All right? The accent is different, but it is a little more powerful. Just like may and ooh are negatives, but when you get them together, ooh may, that's a strengthened form of the negative. That's the strongest negative you can have. We've had to have ooh may together.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't? We've had ooh, though. We've had may. We've never had ooh may together. Okay,
so,
all right. Well, that's an example of strengthened form. All right, paragraph 325, again, is background information on formation. Any question on that? All right, paragraph 326, some of these usages and examples, four of them listed, of pas. Notice number one in the predicate position. Predicate position. All the city. Pasa e polis. All the city. Or all cities. Pasai hai polis. All the cities. Predicate because the article does not precede it. See? Notice in the attributive position you have it, where the article does precede it, the city as a whole, he pasa polis, the all city.
So would you translate the whole city? Is that
the whole city is all right.
Mm-hmm.
City as a whole, the whole city. Then notice the entire law, the whole law, ha pas nomos, the all law, the whole law, see? That's attributive. With the article preceding it. A for attributive, A for article. Usually that's the case. The total number of the men, hoi pantes andres, the all men, the whole men, all the total numbers. And the question's on the attributive. All right, with the singular number three, with the singular substantive, without the article, pasa, polis, or polis, pasa, every city. Without the article, with the singular substantive, pasa polis or polis pasa, every city, same thing. Any question on that? All right, number four, pas ha, is, and the participle is a common construction in the New Testament. For everyone hearing, everyone who hears, pas ha akuon, pas ha akuon, everyone who hears. All right, all those hearing, or all those who hear is what?
Pontes,
all those who are hearing, see, all those who hear. So, pas ha is very common. To everyone hearing, to everyone who hears is what?
Panti,
to, akuanti, all right? To everyone hearing, to everyone who hears. All those having heard, all those who heard is what?
Pontes, hoi,
Acusantes. Pantes poi acusantes. All those having heard, all those who heard. That's the aorist, isn't it? Versus the present. Any questions on those examples of pas ha? Or just pas? All right, if not, paragraph 327 of the DAP 132. Hoste is what?
So that.
So that distinguished from hoste uses an inferential conjunction, and so, therefore, so on, is with the infinitive twice in the negative expressed result. Hoste.
No, it wasn't in the vocab, was it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess not.
It's funny the way he throws that in.
Yes. Thus, or so, or hoste.
And then he'll use it and we'll forget it.
Yes, that's got to be nailed down, hasn't it? So that. For instance, and he healed them so that the blind man was seeing. So that, see, with the result that, see, that's usually the participle of the particle or the conjunction of result. Alright, the accusative ton tuflon is not the subject of the infinitive blepain. It sure looks like it, doesn't it? In fact, that's the thing that's raging. The infinitive does not have a subject. Has no personal entities and not a finite verb. The accusative limits an idea in content, scope, and direction. The action in blepain is limited by the accusative to ton to flon. The use of the accusative is generally called the accusative of general reference, this particular accusative. Now, accusative limits the content. The action of blepain is limited by the accusative to the ton to flon. He healed him so that the blind man was seeing. The result that hosted.
Sounds like it's being translated, would be an imperfect as an imperfect. instead of as an infinitive, I mean blepein.
Yes, that's true. Now you see, though they say that the tam tuflon is not the subject of the infinitive, you will see, men, as you study and as you translate the Greek New Testament, that it appears like the subject of an infinitive is always in the accusative.
Right.
Now you see, it isn't the subject of the accusative. Well, fine. But what we consider in our translation as a subject of that infinitive is going to be in the accusative. See, because he healed him so that the blind man was seeing. See, he was seeing. The blind man was seeing. We say the blind man taught to fly. In English, that is a subject. See? At least in our translation, it is a subject. And so if you just remember that, the blind man to see, that's a general regular expression in Greek, which means was seeing or had seen. Blepein, of course, is present, so was continuously seeing, right? Blepein is a present tense, present infinitive. So that could be translated like that. You understand what I mean? This is they say it isn't. It isn't a subject, but a lot of Greek books, some of them, they say that it is, or it's almost like it. It seems like it is. So these big things denying that that's the subject infinitive, you'll find that accusative right there with that infinitive all
well,
the time.
What are we saying? That's not necessarily a true statement. Purely.
Yeah, well, the accusative is not the subject of the infinitive. Let me see what the data managers say. They may say in pure grammatical terms, that may be entirely correct, but in practicality, I'm talking practical translation from the Greek language to the English, we consider it in the English language as the subject of the infinitive, whatever the Greek considers it. See? For instance, the blind man was seeing, see?
That's right.
So that ton tu flon blepein. So that the blind man to see. We think that the blind man is a subject. We don't say so that to see the blind man as a direct object of the infinitive. See, that would be the other alternative, wouldn't it? If we did not know that the accusative meant the subject when he dressed that in the English instead of the object of the verb, we'd be in a pickle, wouldn't we?
Right.
So why are they withholding this? Why are they being so nitpicking on this? Why are they holding back the information that would help the English speaking student? I don't know. I don't know whether this would be in Dana Manning and readily found and out in the infinitives, and probably would be hiding and sneaking somewhere around his statement on it. But I could look under infinitive, history of it, origin, uses of it, verbal uses of it. 193-185 section. 193. See if I can find something very quickly. 193. Historical significance. The article enhanced the infinitive at 2 points. Without hesitation, we find the articular infinitive in the appropriate case. The infinitive with ta, the object of the verb, so on and so forth. I probably can't find it real quick. Verbal uses, purpose, substantival, and apposition. Now, I'm sure it's lingering somewhere as far as what it is, but I don't see it readily. As far as so-called subject, but I think he says the same thing as I recall. It's not technically, well, technically it isn't. We'll agree with him, but practically it is. How's that? All right. Accusative, the action is blepein, limited by the action, accusative, twofold. And this is used the accusative of general reference. All right, that brings us to the end here. Now, I want to be sure to assign 328 so there will be no distinction. I usually don't talk much about it because it's not part of the chapter. Maybe that's what I did last time. Maybe I didn't highlight it as I went through it, but whatever.
So you got those two of these?
So you got two of those. Really? Take two of the small.
That's three.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, excuse me. All right, I'm overdoing it this time. You're right. Oh, no, I better not. I'm right on stopping there, see? All right, I better stop there. Thank you for correcting. So you got 36, is that right? Paragraph 309. Then you take all of 37. You take vocabulary, 310, take 311. Then you take the exercises, 318, right? Then you go over and take 319, which is the vocabulary, take 320, and take 324. And that winds it up. Right? That's a good wind up. Any questions further on that? All right, let's look at our exercises. Hello, we may have time for John chapter 1 this evening. I wouldn't hold your breath on it, but it just might be. Exchange your papers with, please, and put your names at the bottom, graded by, and graded. That would be page...
Who's the list of
two of this? That would be page 1.
Who's the grader?
What page are we on?
I grade pretty easy on my own.
That page 117, 286, is that what it is?
No, I don't paragraph think. 292, I think.
All right, 292. That's correct.
292.
All right, let's take a look at the first one. Let's read the Greek on it, please. Page 119, paragraph 292.
119?
Isn't that it?
Page 119, yes.
Page 119? All right, what's the Greek on that first one?
C-A.
Ha. Basileus.
Ton.
Eudaion. Eudaion. All right, what does that say?
You are
the king
of Eudaion.
Of the Eudaion.
Yeah, whatever that is.
The Jews. Yeah,
I couldn't find that.
Yeah, well, that's the Jews. The Judeans. See, the Judeans, which they say normally is a word for Jews.
Yeah, he chose the proper noun status without any words.
All I had to do is try to transliterate to what it looked like. It might say Judah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be Eudaion.
What's the force of the sheep? It's by its presence.
Well, it's not necessary. So
that's right. It's emphatic. That's correct. What this is exactly it is in the scriptures, and I don't know, but if it is, that's what the force of it would be. All right, even if it isn't, it's the force of it even in these sentences. All right. Questions on one? All right, let's take two. Read the Greek first. Hoi, basileis,
ton,
ethnon,
kuriousen,
kuriousen. I tell you, eousen, eon, all is, it really is, there's some. But if you say kuriousen, you got two oos, right? Right? As they suggest. So, Kadiyawusen. All right, Auton is the last word. What does that translate into?
The kings,
plural, of the nations or of the heathen?
Okay.
Kurios is Lord.
Lord of them.
Rule over, or Lord it over.
Them.
We Lord over them, all right?
Yeah, but that's genitive. What's that? Why is that?
To rule over,
it takes the genitive.
It also says that, so I didn't argue.
Yeah, right. For the genitive.
Get it? Oh, I didn't see that.
So there's certain verbs, ruling, and so on, like tasting. It tastes all of something. It tastes the genitive. They take the genitive.
Oh, you said why genitive? Okay. Why? Read the footnote.
That's right.
So you don't take anything off.
Yeah, right. You can make all the comments you want.
Any other questions on... All right, let's read the Greek on three. Al upo.
Telos.
Estin. But.
But.
Okay.
Upo.
Telos is
the end. But
what?
The end is not yet.
Not yet. The end, but the end is not yet. Any questions on three?
Okay.
All right, hard contrast. Al. Very strong adversative.
Yeah.
But. All right, number four. Let's read the Greek on that first, please.
MLN.
Jesus.
Apathneskein.
Huper.
Two.
Ethnus.
Ethnus.
All right, what does that say? Oh, pardon me. Oh, yeah, we got a lot of another.
Kai.
Oof.
Huper.
Two.
Ethnus.
Monon.
All right. You know, mono in Spanish is monkey. I always think of mono, monkey. I have these kids in one of my 8th grade sections, 8, 7, or 8, 8, that one calls the other monkey. They're both Negro students. And, you know, it's strange. The girl is what the boy calls the girl mono, monkey. And the boy, the girl calls, she's the monkey, and he's calling Viz. I don't know what that stands for, but Viz. They're always busting on each other, you know, back and forth, cracking jokes and strange. But mono, see, and some of the Spanish kids get into the act, and they know that girl is called Monkey. So they call her Mono in Spanish, which is Monkey, see? And I don't know whether the English kids know that they're calling her Monkey, but
the Lone Ranger called his Indian buddy Stupid for years.
Tonto,
that's right.
That really? Tonto, see, Tonto, but Tonto is Stupid. But Tonto, you know, is a little different. But that's Tonto, it's very close.
They called him Stupid for years.
That's a very bad racial slur in India. How about that?
Right. And then Tonto, not knowing any better, said, sure, Kemosabe.
The little
boy. I wonder what Kemosabe is.
We just have to file that one up.
Yeah, right. I hope it doesn't mean what the initials SB. I hope that doesn't mean that. That would be terrible.
Yeah, it would be terrible.
All right, so where were we? All right, now we're ready to transfer that mono. Now a lot of the monkey business there. Yeah. All right, what is it now, Evelyn?
Jesus was about to die.
Hugh Bear, in behalf of, for the benefit of
the nations,
or the Gentiles, and
not
under,
in behalf
on behalf of the nations only.
Nations only. Yeah,
that's a...
Now, you see, here's the point.
I said not only on behalf of the nation.
Yeah,
that's singular, though. It's not nations, it's just nation, right? In behalf
of
the nation.
Oh, excuse me, you're right. You're absolutely. Two ethnos, you're absolutely right. That S in the English language carried away, but that is genitive singular. The nation, meaning the nation Israel, see?
Yeah,
what did you say?
I was just trying to figure out. I guess he was referencing Israel, but I couldn't figure.
You got all the words right. On behalf of the nation only, right?
Now you see, if the hyper-Calvinists are correct, how can the hyper-Calvinists, with a limited atonement, say that the Lord Jesus Christ did not die for the sins of the world, or, in this case, the sins of that nation? Hufer, for the benefit of, in place of, and instead of, Hufer, meaning both instead of and for the benefit of the nation, see? It says right here, and I think it's a quotation of Scripture, and I guess the way it is in Scripture, in John, the Gospel of John. He died for the nation. Well, in what sense did he die for the nation? You see, he either didn't die, he only died for the elect of the nation. No, he died for the nation, see?
What verse are you referring to?
I think it's the Gospel of John. I don't have a concordance in English. John Caiaphas, yes, for the nation, he rose up and so on. Wonder what ethnos, I guess in this Greek lexicon we give it to be, maybe, what is ethnos. See if I can find out. I should bring in my English question or concordance. If you can find it faster than I can here. That's nice. Yeah, my wife switched candies on you tonight a little bit. Had a new brand, different things. She's kidding
you. I used to work for them.
Oh, you did?
They're in Chicago, Brock's.
What's the name of it?
Prox.
Oh, yeah. It's a good candy.
Yeah.
Give me a sample.
Yeah, Christmas time we used to get an outstanding box of candy. Chocolates.
That's not, did you find it?
Well, it says die for the people.
All right, here it is, John 11:52. Try that. 11:51, that Jesus should die for that nation, not for the nation only. See? 11:52. Now, let's pin that down if it's too fair. You got that in there? That's all right for the English, isn't it? John 11:52. All right.
51.
Okay. 11:51. The blood of Abel. Oh, I'm in Luke. John 11:51.
Quite a collection you got there, man.
Was about to die, Huper to ethnos for the nation. That's right, Huper. Not for the Huper ethnos mono, not for the nation only. Exactly from Scripture, John 11:52. So that's, I don't know how the hyper Calvinists, the limited atonement men can come up with things like that. Now it's true he died for the elect. We know that. But he also died for the sins of the whole world. The non-elect, the elect, the whole truth. And I said, there are some verses that seem to say he's talking about death for his believers. There's no question about that. But does that rule out the fact that he also, other verses that say he died for those who are not necessarily going to believe, but as a basis of his death? So this is certainly one place that thought I'd point that out right here in the exercises. Theologically, sometimes people go astray on these points, don't they? All right, number five. And we got that translated, right? Didn't we? Number five, let's read the Greek on that for us, please. All of us.
Book.
Echeis.
Meros.
Metemu.
Metemu, all right? What's that say?
You have not part with me.
You don't have part with me. You don't have any part in me, anything to do with me. No share in me. That's a meros. Are there any questions on that one? I was in the book of James this last Sunday teaching, and one of the words had meros in it. What was it? Patty Melos, Meros, and many. Oh, Holometos, I guess. Holometos, which was let patience have its perfect work, that it may be perfect and entire. Holometos. Holos from whole, Meros for parts. So you know part. All the parts present, say. Everything in shape, not with one finger off or an eye off or a nose, but the patience, and of course, before patience comes testings. When the testings have gotten to the point where you've got the whole balance, you see there. The holometos. It's interesting. Every part, whole part. Are there any questions on that one? Did we say that we translate that? Let's go on to six then, please. Exercise number six. Greek first.
Poi.
Ahihiares. Ahihiares.
Apon.
Apon.
You said ook.
Ook. Yeah.
Echomen.
See, it's not below the line. If you know, it's not ook, but it's ook. But that German script looks like an ook, than the small ook.
Plus it's blurred in my...
Oh, is it blurred?
Ink spot. Yeah. Oh.
Ink all right. Ook. Echomen. Pasela. Pasela. All right, what does that say?
The high priests,
plural.
So they are high
priests.
High priests.
Archi Herus. Herus, the priest, and Archi is high priest. Said...
We do not have a king.
They said, we have no king but Caesar. Say, we do not have a king. Any questions on six?
We forget six.
Oh, I forgot.
Uh-oh. Lest we forget. Only six off, that's all. Now, out of a page, you get 79.
Doing the homework.
Right, we'll give him a bonus.
All right, that's right. You did that extra one.
Well, give him a bonus. Did you write bonus down?
Yeah,
bonus minus six.
So, you could probably translate it in your head there, I'm sure.
He just did.
He just did it. All right, let's go on to English to Greek. The multitude will follow him, is what? Multitude is plethos, is it?
I don't know, I use oikla.
Across the crowd?
No, I think I used both. I think I parenthesized it because I found out later that some other words, a multitude. I forgot.
Yeah, plethos.
Plethos. All right, the plethos to follow is akulutheo. Anakulutheon is the noun following. Mm-hmm. Akulutheon. So akulutheo would be what?
Anakulutheon.
We'll follow anakulutheo. Akulutheo. Akulutheis.
Well, would you take that as collective verb, not collective noun?
Yeah, it will follow. I think it'd be it will follow. I think it'd be third person singular, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be al-kolethe, right? Al-kolethe.
Al-kolethe.
Al-kolethe. Al-kolethe.
What do you think? And he has a...
Al-kolethe, you got that?
He has it.
They have, they will follow. Al-kolethuse, al-kolethose. Tosi, rather?
Akolutosi? No, you can't say Faisusi, because you didn't use a plural, you didn't use a plural noun anyway.
Akolutosi. I used they will follow him.
Akolutosi, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they will follow.
Yeah, but I think I made it plural, didn't I, Hoy?
No, you have it singular.
Okay.
Well, but he's thinking of the collective, so they will. Not
well,
the
you
collective.
Made a collective when you didn't translate it in the first place with the multitude. Or
yeah, that's right.
Is singular.
But if you're thinking now of each and every person and they're making it plural in your verb, I guess you could sort of, that's what we call a mixture, isn't it? It's attraction.
Yeah, that's it.
That's attraction. So remember that attraction you used to have? But anyway,
page,
any questions on that? Either we'll follow him in the plural or singular, one of the two. All right? Number two, that one is not king of this world. That one, not this one. Who tosses this one? Akenos is that one, so.
Is it Akenos?
Akenos, that one, is not king. Now, to be king is Basileo. So, Basileo. See, Basileo, and just put the verb right in there, see.
You
wouldn't
have
to say Esti Basileus, but you see, to be king is one verb. You can use the other way, I guess.
Oh, I see.
But Basileo means to be king, doesn't it? Didn't we learn that in this
yes,
lesson
yeah.
or the last lesson?
No, it's the next one.
Oh, well, we haven't learned that. All right,
no,
can't
no,
do
no wonder we
all
can't
right.
do
we
it.
We can't do that. Oh, can't do that. Oh, so is not no. king. It's got to be then.
Okay.
Esti. Uk Esti. He is not king.
Yeah.
Basileus of this world.
Tutu Cosmo,
right?
Tutu
Cosmo. Of this world.
Tutu.
Of this world. The tutu for Hutos.
Yeah.
Right, this one?
Oh, yeah, right.
You did it.
Tutu Cosmo.
Yeah, Tutu Cosmo Tutu.
That's good. More with more finesse.
You didn't do tutu, though.
Too mm-hmm. bad, isn't it?
Plus,
you get your bonus on that
plus
one.
You said ha akinos.
Akinos?
You said akinos. Can't say that either.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
That one. Can't you?
Akinos? What did you say?
I put an article in front
of it. Oh, instead of just. No, you wouldn't say the that one.
You
wouldn't
say
akinos. You would just see that it was that one.
You say that one. I'll take off a half.
Yeah, take off half. That's good. All right, any other question on two? All right, three. This is the gospel which I proclaim among the nations. This is the gospel.
I get you.
Now, how'd you do for this one and this one? Is it ha hutos or just plain hutos?
This?
Yeah.
It's just
hutos, right?
Yeah,
hutos. You wouldn't say ha hutos.
Mm-hmm. No,
this
no.
hutos. This is simply hutos. This
the wrong one.
Is the gospel.
Yeah, you said
tuto.
Why
is it this?
The gospel is new.
Yeah,
neuter.
You're right then. Talk.
Oh, Evangelion. Tuton, you're right. I was wrong. Tuton. S-T. Talk. Evangelion,
right?
Talk Evangelion. Tuton. S-T. Ton Evangelion. You're right?
Yeah, S-T.
Which I have preached. Now, wait a minute. Which is the which? Which
I use that as which as being the gospel.
Which? Yeah, has, he, ha.
So
it's from.
Right. So
he, ha. That's right. Neuter. Ha.
Which? Keruso.
Now, wait a minute.
That's right.
It can't be ha.
I mean,
why not?
Because it's neuter.
It is neuter. Ha.
It is. Ha is neuter.
Has, he, ha.
Oh, okay.
Ha. Right. Ha, ha. Anything else on that?
Getting your ha.
I was outsmarted on that one, wasn't I?
All right, ha, which I proclaim, corpus peruso, keruso, so this would be, I proclaim this peruso, exactly,
so.
Among the nations, which would be N, and probably the instrumental.
Right.
N.
And two.
Tois.
Tois.
All the nations.
Ethnois, right?
Ethnois.
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 Ethnicity. Ethnicity. All right, that's right, it's third declension. Ethnicity.
Ethnicity.
Ethnicity. All right. Any questions on
you
number
sure
three?
Right?
Ethnicity?
Oh, I know. That's a singular. That's what I did.
Okay. Anything? Any questions further on three? Five, four. You have a part in the kingdom of heaven. To have is echo?
Eche.
Eche? Thou hast?
Eche.
Pardon me?
Meros.
You have. I hope my wife will get that. A part. Of course, meros. Is it tall meros? The neuter?
Yeah.
All right. So you have a part. You have the direct object, the accusative, wouldn't it? You have direct object. Mm, so it would be
right.
Ton
It's just a part.
It just be his melos. These are the part. Sometimes they use the article, even though we say a part. Mm-hmm. You have, they say sometimes the part. That's why you can use that more freely than in English. So if you want to just say melos, you have a melos in the kingdom of heaven.
Okay, first declension, masculine.
It's ha. So it'd be te. Te basile.
It's not neuter.
No, it'd be masculine. See, page 117, masculine. It's ha basileus.
I got that. And I got the...
Wait a minute. Basilea. Oh, hold it. No, I think it's king. You're right. It is te basilea.
Right.
Te basilea. So it'd be te...
Tase basilea. You're right.
Basilea. Is it a feminine?
No, it's feminine. Masculine.
It's feminine. See, basileus is a...
We got to go back to the kingdom with
the
original word.
And he basilea is the feminine, see. So that'd be te basileia.
Well, you still got it wrong. You got it. You had the right idea, but you got it wrong. It's basileia, right?
Te basileia.
Te basileia.
That takes the.
In the kingdom would be instrumental. Locket.
Always missed.
See, locket is location. See, that'd be en basileia.
Well, you got it wrong.
I know.
So en te basileia. Huh? With a Yoda subscript on the alpha. You got the Yoda subscript on it?
I don't think I have the Yoda subscript. Did I get that right?
Yeah, the Yoda subscript preserves the lack of the instrumental name.
You see Basilea?
You missed that other one too, then, the ending.
I believe I did that.
Okay. Have got it all right now?
No, not really.
Not really?
I didn't get it right, but
you
have a part. Understand now.
You do understand?
After the fact.
Yeah. Okay. Ex post facto. All right. Any questions further on four?
Yeah. So we didn't finish.
Oh, didn't we finish? Oh, it's the kingdom. To Uranu.
Or just Uranu.
Yeah.
You said this was easier, you said? Is that what you said?
All right, number five. The scribes and priests have not mercy. What would that be? The scribes and priests. Scribes or grammateus?
Hoi grammateus.
Taste. Hoi grammateus. The scribes and the priests, rather. Hieres. Hieres is the priest. So hoi hieres. Kai hoi hieres. Have not mercy. The word have is echos, would it be? And mercy is eloos, is it not?
Yeah, that's it.
Eloos.
Eloos. So this would be, do not have.
Would be eloos.
Wouldn't it be accusative?
Yeah, it is accusative, but
it's accusative.
Eloos
is accusative. It's neuter. So eloos is eloos. All right? Like genos, huh? Okay, you got it. Hellos. Any questions on number five? All right, if not, add them up and subtract from 79. Our base is 79. On these? Yep. If I've added correctly.
That was
two. You must have added both lessons, or that one lesson.
Oh, this was 48 in the first and 39 in the second. Yeah.
Is that right?
There's 79 words in there. Count them up. Challenge.
No,
I may be a little bit. 94%. The closest one. Who's that?
Manny getting bonus points for the.
Who's that one?
That was Larry.
That was Larry.
You sure that's LOS, that last word?
Well, you see, genos and genos.
You got L-A.
L-O-S.
Which is not.
Yeah,
right.
Which is plural.
No, what is plural?
Mercy.
No, mercy.
The high priests have mercy, but see, they all have. What he's trying to do is refer that and equate that with the high priests, which is plural. But see, they only have one thing, which would be singular. That's all right to have singular, isn't it? Prince, you can have grace. A million mm-hmm. people can have grace, but the grace wouldn't be for us because a million people have it.
That's right.
See, Protestants, I think that's true. See, it says by grace. See, look here. By grace are you saved. Yeah. But ye is more than one. So you don't say by graces you're saved. See, still caddis. By grace.
Okay.
All right.
Does Manny get any bonuses for... he missed that. Out. He just left
he missed six off. Well, let's take instead of six off, let's take off four. Because I think he would have got it perfect had his
mind... I probably
got
it perfect. You're
his
right.
mind
you're right.
been thinking up there. Not
70 having, then.
He's got 70? Okay.
90%.
Okay.
89.
You got 70. Something like that.
Yeah.
No, I got
88.6.
Now, how did I get that?
That's
89.
Yeah,
89. Is that what you figured?
Yes.
Okay.
Steve
got 75. Okay, that was Manny. Yes, 96. All right, what'd you get? How many did you get?
Manny got 75.
It's 79 total points.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, 94.9 is 95%. That was Manny?
No.
Or Steve?
Steve.
Okay. All right, put them back to the owners, and we look at them and hand them back to me if you would, please.
You got them back to work?
Yeah.
Oh, brother. Okay.
Tonight? Yeah, you got to work? Oh, boy. Yeah. All right. Well, in honor of Manny's working, we'll leave out 2 minutes early tonight. How's that? Rather than going to Gospel John, we could just try this.
We never get to that, do we?
Well, it's too bad. It's one of those things. Maybe next time with two exercises.
Well, we'll make big load.
Two exercises next time.
Maybe. Next time we'll be lucky to finish it.
Right? I know, that's true. We'll do our best to do that. All right, well, all of you please lead in the closing word of prayer. So, Lord, we please you to close our lesson.
Dear Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us together here, and we thank you for our salvation through Jesus Christ. And we ask that you would bless us and our families and help us to learn and study your word and apply it to our lives. We thank you for everything that you've done for us and for our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, keep up the good work, Lynn.